I've had some really soul-searching questions asked of me this week. And because God is God, the answer to these questions have a lot to do with the fact that we are celebrating Harvest Home this Sunday. Now, that's some pretty fancy coordinating. Coordinating that can only be pulled off by an all-powerful and all-knowing God who knew from the beginning of time that each and every one of us would be sitting here this particular Sunday, September 17th, 2017. The questions were these. Is God really faithful? Will God really take care of me and, more importantly, take care of the ones I love? You know, those are pretty weighty questions. And they are questions that can honestly be answered by the fact that we are celebrating Harvest Home. Because Harvest Home Sunday, as the culmination of Rogation Sunday in the spring, is the recognition of God's dependability and our dependence upon Him for His grace. You know, historically in the church, there were times when Harvest Home was kind of considered interchangeable with Thanksgiving. Now, since we always have a special Sunday headed up by the Circle of Friends on Thanksgiving Sunday with a special ministry and thank offering taken, we never really have a specific Thanksgiving service. So I thought I could incorporate Thanksgiving as kind of an example of what Harvest Home is all about. Let's consider how our understanding of Thanksgiving influences our celebration of Harvest Home and how it guarantees us of our ability to depend on God to take care of us. Now, we all know the drill. In America, according to legend, the first Thanksgiving was prompted by the pilgrims who, after barely surviving a terrible winter, had come to the next fall with a harvest that ensured their survival for the next winter. They realized that even with all of the mistakes that they had made, that it was grace that had enabled them to survive and to continue to survive. Their celebration of Thanksgiving served to remind them of what they already knew, that we are dependent upon God for our existence and for life itself. And that is, after all, the theme of the Bible. Life is a gift, and the giver of that gift is dependable. And with the uncertainties of life swirling all around us, this is the message that I would like to really bring home this Harvest Home Sunday. The dependability of God, or more precisely, we can depend on God. Consider the point of the Noah story. After the flood, God made a covenant with Noah, but it was a covenant with all of creation, for all the earth, that he would never destroy the earth again because of human sin. And he said to Noah, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In other words, not only is God dependable, God's creation is dependable. And that dependability, that faithfulness, according to the Noah story, is a gift to us. We don't deserve it. Though we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. Even though we have this propensity to shoot ourselves in the foot, God is still dependable. It is the covenant that God has made with all of His creation through Noah, that He will always be faithful. And seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now that covenant was sealed, if you remember, with a rainbow. And that's part of that story. But this morning, I want to guarantee all of us that it is a part of our story as well. After the storms, you will see a rainbow. Now, the rainbow is a sign. It's there to tell us that God will always be dependable. And this morning's lesson from Deuteronomy is one that traditionally is read at Thanksgiving. And it's another testimony of God's faithfulness. The passage is about the covenant that God made with Moses, the rescue of the Jews from slavery in Egypt. Now, the lesson in Deuteronomy is that at the time of harvest, that the Jews were to remember the Exodus and to remember the faithfulness of God. Now, they were to take the first fruits of the land that God had given to them, and they were to take those first fruits, and they were to take them and present them to the priest at the temple, and they were to have a service of thanksgiving. And then they are to say this creed, which is a recap of Israel's history. My father was a wandering Armenian, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. And then they're told to place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. They were to celebrate, you see, kind of their own version of harvest home. And that is why we sing, come ye thankful people, come raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. The dependability of nature, according to the Bible, is a gift given to us by God. The place where we live, the land which is ours, is a gift to us by God's providence. It is that understanding that causes us to celebrate harvest home. But it is also that understanding that reminds us that God's dependability does not end with the harvest. God is dependable, period. And it comes right out of the Old Testament, the covenants that God has made with us, always to be faithful to us, even when we are unfaithful or shoot ourselves in the foot. And that's how the Thanksgiving pilgrims saw their lives, and that's how we can view our lives as well. Now, I have to tell you, many years ago, I had a good friend. Of course, you know that I have said goodbye to many, many close friends in life. And this is over 20 years ago, but I had a good friend in one of my old churches named Lena. And she was a member of our Owls group at the time, and Owls would come to my house at least once a year. We would have a picnic in our picnic woods, as best we could with walkers and canes and wheelchairs. You know how it goes. Well, anyway, one day we're walking out in the woods, and it was, you would remember the time we were going to have such a brutal winter that winter. That's the later story. But acorns were like ankle deep in our picnic woods. And there were so many acorns, which I understand, you know, people go, oh, you know, there's a lot of acorns, you know, it's going to be a bad winter. Well, anyway, Lena's like, hold my cane. Okay, so I'm holding Lena's cane, and she is bending down, which is a little scary, and she puts her shirt up, and she's gathering these acorns in her shirt. Well, I was like, Lena, what you doing there? Gathering up these acorns. What you gonna do with those, Lena? Gonna take them home? Gonna plant them? Because I need some oak trees at my house. Okay. Now, Lena was 90 at the time. Okay? Lena was 90 at the time. And one of the other ladies, because they get a little brutal when they get older, says, you're not gonna see those trees grow up, Lena. She said, then I'm planting them for somebody else, she said. And she went home, and her son told me she planted those acorns. Now, Lena lived long enough after that I believe she probably saw some of those little acorn trees. But the reason I bring this up, my dear sweet Lena, is she just knew God was faithful. And she knew she wasn't going to live to see those trees grow up. She was a smart cookie. But she was planting those trees because she understood the concept of God's faithfulness. You know, the faithfulness of God is pretty amazing. And He gives us His assurance. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. And that's a problem. A promise. Not a problem. Well, it's a promise. So when we receive the gift and we are ungrateful or we are even abusive and we don't recognize the giver, what does God do? You know what He does? He returns it to us again with a renewed promise, hoping that this time we get it right. And that's why we can continue to celebrate Harvest Home. But sometimes it's hard, because life is hard. The world is dependable, not only in terms of seed time and harvest, but you know what you can also depend on the world to bring you? Sorrow and pain. And that makes it difficult for some people to see the faithfulness of God and to be thankful. You know, years ago I visited a church family member who was in a terrible state. And as we prayed and visited, she said something to me that was so insightful. She asked about different people in the congregation she knew who were going through many different things in their own lives. And although she was lying there in the hospital in a terrible state, she said, you know, everyone's dealing with something. And even though that is the truth of Christianity, I never put it so plainly as she put it to me that day. So my question to you this morning is, how is your something doing? Because everybody's dealing with something. And it gets in the way of our thankfulness. It gets in the way of our remembering that God is dependable. Has this ever happened to you? Things are going pretty well. You know, family's all right. Everybody's talking to everybody else. Things are working out. In fact, you might even have gotten a little ahead and you think, you know, maybe you'll take a little time off, you know. Maybe you might even take a little bit of a vacation, you know, maybe a couple of days. And then the phone rings. Yeah, I know what your reaction was when you heard that. The phone rings. Because we have all been there. We've all picked up the phone to hear news that interrupts life. You know, I heard a story about a woman who attended a hockey game. She was sitting in the front row right next to the ice, and one of the players slammed in the railing in front of her. Another player slammed into him and took a stick and hit him, gave him a forearm to the side of the head, and turned the player around so that he was draped over the railing, almost in the lap of that woman. And he looked up at her and he said, "I'll trade jobs with you." And she said, "I teach sixth grade." And he said, "Never mind." Everybody is dealing with something. Everybody has had it rough. And it gets in the way of our thankfulness, and it gets in the way of us remembering that God is faithful and dependable. So how is your something? Because everybody has one. Everybody has heard the phone ring. Everybody has kind of said, to themselves, "Oh man, I knew that wasn't going to last." And there are some people who even live their lives waiting for the other shoe to fall. Even Paul. You know, there's this passage in Philippians that I love. Chapter 4 begins with verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." You've heard me use that as a benediction so many times. But I want to give you some context this morning. If anyone had a right to question God, it was Paul. If anyone had a right to complain, it was Paul. If anyone had a right to be miserable, it was Paul. He was in jail when he wrote those words. And he was in jail because he tried to do something good for somebody. He had returned to Jerusalem with an offering he had taken up among the Gentile churches for the poor in the church in Jerusalem. And he knew it was risky. And he knew that there were people there that were going to remember him and probably report him to the authorities. But he went anyway. And he went to Jerusalem out of sense of compassion. And out of sense of responsibility. And out of sense of duty. He did the right thing. He did the noble thing, and he paid for it. He was in jail. He was dealing with a big something, and he had the right to complain, and he had the right to be miserable, and he had a reason to question whether God, the God he served, was really faithful, and whether the God he served was really dependable. Yet he told the Philippians, rejoice. Again, I will say it. Rejoice. Now what we need to know is that he had the right to complain because, you know, this, he wasn't going to get out of jail this time. And he knew it. He had told the Philippians earlier in the letter that he was going to come. Oh, I'm going to come and see you. He knew that wasn't going to happen. He knew that his time was up. And he knew that pretty soon, one of these days, they were going to come and they were going to take him away and they were going to cut off his head. Because that was the way they executed Roman citizens. They didn't hang them the way they did non-Romans on a cross. They didn't do that. They cut off their heads because it's more humane. So Paul was going to be executed by decapitation on the Appian Way, and he knew it was coming, but it did not get in the way of his thankfulness. And he said, rejoice. He didn't even mention what was coming. He said, again, I say, rejoice. Think about this poor guy. He had been betrayed by Peter in the established church in Jerusalem concerning Gentiles in the church. He carried with him what he called the thorn in the flesh. People followed him around so that when he left an area, they could come in and tell everyone that he was a phony and a fake to undo what he had done. Shipwrecks, attempted murder, I could go on. There he was in prison, and he doesn't mention any of it. All he says is, rejoice. I will say it again, rejoice. He was still thankful. So how is that something coming that's in your life? Well, you know, farther on in the letter from Philippians, down at verse 11, he says something that is profound. And it was all of that just so that I could get to this, just so you know. And it's in verse 11, and he says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. You want to know what the secret is? He told us somewhere else when he was talking about that thorn in the flesh. It was something that God had told him that speaks to our message this morning. Here's the secret. My grace is sufficient for you. And that's one of those covenants with Moses and Noah. That's what they were all about. That is what those covenants had promised. Not that life was going to be easy. Not that it was going to be a piece of cake. But that when it was not easy, in fact, when it was so hard that you wonder if you're going to make it, and you feel like that you are going down for the third time, grace will always be there. That's what the pilgrims in New England had discovered. Not that life was easy. Not that things were going to unfold in ways that they could understand. But that God, our Maker, doth provide. God is faithful. That's why we can celebrate Harvest Home today. Because all our wants will be supplied. Because God is dependable. That's why, sitting in prison, awaiting his execution, Paul can tell the Philippians, I have found the secret. It is the dependability of God's grace in any circumstance. So rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. So on this Harvest Home Sunday, when we celebrate the dependability of God to provide, we remember that his dependability does not stop with the harvest of crops. But his dependability overflows into every aspect of life and into every aspect of our lives. Everyone is dealing with something, but God is faithful. Now please stand as we pray over our Harvest Home offering this morning. It's in your bulletin. And put your hand out there because we're blessing this offering this morning. All of us together. Everybody found it? Father God, you are giver of every good and perfect gift. We gratefully acknowledge with thanks that all we are and have comes from you. The food that we have brought for our Harvest Home offering and placed on your altar represents the love we have for you. Bless these gifts for the strengthening of your church and those who will benefit from the giving, for we have offered them for the sake of Christ and your glory. Amen. Amen and amen.